He looked over her head at me, standing back by the door. I was too educated for Henri Pichot. He had no use for me at all anymore. But just as Miss Emma had given so much of herself to that family, so had my aunt. So Henri Pichot, who cared nothing in the world for me, tolerated me because of my aunt. "And what do you plan to do?" he asked me. I shook my head. "I have no idea." He stared at me, and I realized that I had not answered him in the proper manner. "Sir," I added, "you think you can change him from a hog to a man in a little time he's got left?" "I have no idea, sir," I said. "But you're willing to try if I can get Mr. Sam to let you go up there?" "That's what she wants, sir." "But you didn't put her up to this." "No, sir, I did not," I said. He was finished talking to me. Now he wanted me to look away. I lowered my eyes. When I raised my head, I saw his eyes on her again. "I would forget all this if I were you," he said. "Let Mose visit him and keep it at that." "Reverend Mose will visit him," Miss Emma said. "But no, sir, I won't keep it at that." "At this point, I would be more concerned about his soul if I were you," Henri said. "Yes, sir. I'm concerned for his soul, Mr. Henri," Miss Emma said. "I'm concerned for his soul. But I want him be a man, too, when he go to that chair." Louis Ragone, standing next to Henri Pichot, held his drink without drinking. He could not believe what he was hearing. Henri Pichot looked at me again. He was sure I had put her up to this. I shifted my eyes, and I didn't look in his direction until I heard him speaking to her. "Go on home, forget all this foolishness," he told her. "You have done all you could to raise him. Let the law have him now." "The law got him, Mr. Henri," Miss Emma said, "and they gon' kill him." "But let them kill a man. Let the teacher go to him, Mr. Henri. I done a lot for this family over the years." "I know what you've done for this family over the years," he told her. "And I also know what he did, or have you forgotten that?" "I ain't forgotten nothing, Mr. Henri," she said. "I know what they say he did." "He did it," Henri said, leaving no doubt in his mind. "I spoke for him because of you, but all the time I knew he did it." "If you say so, Mr. Henri." "I say so," he said. "That's not what I come up here for, Mr. Henri," Miss Emma said to him. "I'm not begging for his life no more. That's over. I just won't see him die like a man. This family owe me that much, Mr. Henri, and I want it. I want somebody do something for me one time before I close my eyes. Somebody got to do something for me one time before I close my eyes, Mr. Henri. Please, sir." From where I stood, back by the door, I could see my aunt tightening her grip around Miss Emma's shoulders to give her comfort. "I'll speak to him," Henri said, "but it's up to him, not me." "Tell him what I done for this family, Mr. Henri. Tell him to ask his wife all I done for this family over the years." "I said I would speak to him," Henri said, obviously becoming more and more impatient with her. "When?" she asked. Henri Pichot had started to raise his glass because for him the conversation was over. But when Miss Emma spoke again, his hand stopped inches away from his mouth and he lowered the glass. "What? When?" "Whenever I see him, that's when," he said. "Now, if you don't mind, I have a guest." He drank and turned away. "Mr. Henri," Miss Emma called him, but he kept walking. "I'll be up here again tomorrow, Mr. Henri. I'll be on my knees next time you see me, Mr. Henri." But she was speaking to empty space. Henri Pichot and Louis Ragone were already in the library. Miss Emma continued to stare up the hall for a moment. Then she and my aunt turned away, and I held the door open for them to go outside. The sun had gone down, and it was getting colder.